But actually, there was one very famous devotee who lived in Navadvip, Devananda Pandit. And he had the opportunity to have darshan of Varaha Avatar in Navadvip. Because every devotee has a certain inclination or proclivity to a particular form of the Lord. This is not rubber stamping, because you come as a devotee and chant Hare Krishna, that you're only attached to Gaur Nitai or Radha and Krishna. There's so many different forms of the Lord you can become attached to. And you want to emulate that great personality. You want to find out more about them. Just like in Vaikuntha, the Lord is appearing as Varaha Avatar in one Vaikuntha planet. On another one, he's appearing as Lord Nrsingadev. On another one, he's Matsya Avatar, the fish incarnation. Kurma Avatar, the tortoise incarnation. They're all there. They're all manifest in Vaikuntha. And different devotees have a particular proclivity towards a particular form of the Lord. This is natural. Just like Murari Gupta, he was a great surgeon, but also a great Vaishnav, and he was inclined towards worshipping the Lord in the form of Ramachandra. And he was feeling embarrassed. He was feeling a little shy and thinking, oh, maybe this is wrong. I'm having this wrong feeling that some or another, I'm cultivating this desire to worship the Lord as Ramachandra. And I must be a very fallen devotee. I'm not worthy of the association of Lord Chaitanya. But when Lord Chaitanya heard about what he thought was a problem, he said no. He said all the expansions of the Lord, all the incarnations, all the scheduled incarnations are just, they're non-different. They're non-different. They're just different aspects of the Lord. So playing like an elephant, Varaha Avatar, he entered into the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers by the great devotees. The Lord is the object of the Vedic prayers, and thus he understood that the devotees' prayers were meant for him. So the Lord is entering the water. Why? Because standing in the water, who's standing in the water? Who knows? Who knows who's standing in the water? Huh? Hippopotamus? Is that what you said? That's a very unusual reply. I never heard that. That's unique. That is very unique. No, we're talking about Varaha Avatar Leela here. So any offers on hippopotamus? No, it's Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu. Because that's the reason why Varaha Avatar had appeared. Because the reason that he appeared is because of Hiranyaksha. He was such a powerful demon that no one could compete with him. No one in the entire universe could compete with his physical strength. His strength was daunting. So after defeating all the demigods, after completely exploiting this earth of all its wealth, he mined all the oil, all the gold, everything. And because of that, the earth fell out of its orbit and fell into the Garbhadak ocean. And every universe, the half of the universe is covered in water. The bottom half is covered in water. That's the Garbhadak ocean. So the earth, because it lost its buoyancy, it fell into the water. And it rested on the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean. And then Hiranyaksha began to challenge Varuna, the god of the ocean. He went to his capital city, Vibhavari, and demanded, "You fight with me. I'm here in this watery kingdom, and I want to challenge you because I want to be king of this watery kingdom also." So Varuna said, "My dear Lord, I have no fight with you. I have no argument with you. The best thing is you should meet some opponent who is a capable opponent." And so Hiranyaksha said, "Where is that opponent?" And he became disgusted with Varuna because Varuna was not displaying any tendency to fight with him. So then he started smashing at the waves on the top of the Garbhodak Ocean, and he was smashing and smashing and smashing like this, just like sometimes when we go to the sea or the ocean and we make sandcastles and we get fed up with the sandcastles, we run into the water and we start kicking the water. I remember I used to do that myself when I was living as a small child. We lived right on the beach, on the promenade, and when the tide was in, the name of the town is Musselbar, so we used to go out and have a fight with the mussels. I'm joking. Actually, we'd go and kick the waves. But just like, you know, we know that the story of King Canute, the crazy Danish king, who challenged the sea. He sat in his throne at the seaside and, you know, he challenged the sea to, you know, to a battle, but he lost. I think he drowned also. But so this is the foolishness of materialistic people, that you know, they take on this huge challenge and they're bound to lose. So Hiranyaksha was making huge waves using his club. And so he was ready for a fight. So Hiranyaksha is dying to meet this. Actually, Varuna mentions that Vishnu is the greatest, most powerful person in the entire creation. So you should pick a fight with him. And this is when Vravatar appears. So this is another little description of what Hiranyaksha was doing. It's from text 26, chapter 17, canto 3. Moving about in the ocean for many, many years, the mighty Hiranyaksha smote the gigantic wind-tossed waves again and again with his iron mace and reached Vibhavari, the capital of Varuna. Vibhavari is the home of Varuna, lord of the aquatic creatures and guardian of the lower regions of the universe, where the demons generally reside. There Hiranyaksha fell at Varuna's feet like a low-born man. To make fun of him, he said with a smile, "Give me battle, O Supreme Lord. You are the guardian of an entire sphere and a ruler of wide fame, having crushed the might of an arrogant and conceited warriors and having conquered all the daityas and danavas in the world. You once performed a rajasuya sacrifice to the Lord. Thus mocked by an enemy whose vanity knew no bounds, the worshipful Lord of the Waters waxed angry, but by dint of his reason, he managed to curb the anger that had sprung up in him, and he replied, "Oh dear one, we have now desisted from warfare, having grown too old for combat. You are so skilled in war that I do not see anyone else but the most ancient person, Lord Vishnu, who can give satisfaction in battle to you. Therefore, O chief of the Asuras, approach him whom even heroes like you mention with praise." Varuna continues, "On reaching him, you will be rid of your pride at once and will lie down in the field of battle, surrounded by dogs for eternal sleep. It is in order to exterminate wicked fellows like you and to show his grace to the virtuous that he assumes his various incarnations like Varaha." So this was the challenge. Now he has to go and seek out Varaha Avatar. So when Hiranyaksha meets this mountain-like gigantic form of Varaha, who is roaring and is also carrying a golden mace, and he's also wearing a beautiful golden crown and beautiful earrings and necklace, the demon addressed the Lord, "O best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to you, to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. You rascal, you have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. O fool, your power is only mystic, so today I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you." This is real fighting talk by Hiranyaksha. The demon continued, "When you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice in devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots." So he's becoming more and more hypocritical and very, very offensive towards Lord Vishnu. Although the Lord was pained By the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. So what the Lord had done was, he had dove into the water. Like I mentioned, the earth had been plundered by Hiranyaksha and had fallen into the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. So Varahavatar had dove into the water and raised the earth out of the water on his tusks. So this was a challenge to Hiranyaksha. The demon who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks, he also had tusks pointing down. His tusks were pointing down like this, and Vraha's were pointing up like this. So he gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." The Lord placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred to her his own energy in the form of the ability to float on the water. While the enemy stood looking on, Brahma, the creator of the universe, extolled the Lord, and the other demigods rained flowers on him. The demon, who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated this, his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. The personality of God had said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after a hunting dog like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Certainly we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatala and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time, because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go. You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk and wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word." So Sri Maitreya Rishi is continuing this description to Vidura. The demon, being thus challenged by the personality of Godhead, became angry and agitated, and he trembled in anger like a challenged cobra. Hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. The personality of God had now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again, and began to repeatedly brandish it about. Then with his mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow. But since the demon was an expert in fighting, O gentle Vidura, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. In this way, the demon Hiranyaksha and the Lord, the personality of God, had struck each other with their huge maces, each engaged and seeking his own victory. There was keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blow of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of different kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the personality of Godhead, who appeared in the form of a boar. After arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon, who had attained such unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayan, who was assuming the form of a boar for the first time. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. My dear Lord, there is no need to play with this serpentine demon. who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked. My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives and he presents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without doubt. My Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. So Sri Maitreya said, after hearing the words of Brahma, the creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprung and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy, the Hiranyaksha demon, who was stalking fearlessly before him. Struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mace slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though the demons had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord. So he actually waited. I mean, he could have taken his chance and attacked, but he was, in one way, he was again hurling abuse at the Lord by appearing to be chivalrous, but he was the least chivalrous person ever to be born. As the Lord's mace fell to the ground and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis, the personality of God had acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshan discus. As the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants who had been born as Hiranyaksha, a vile son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, "May victory attend you! Pray dispatch him! Play no more with him!" When the demon saw the personality of Godhead, who had eyes just like lotus petals, standing in position before him, armed with his Sudarshan discus, his senses were overpowered by indignation. He began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in great resentment. The demon, who had fearful tusks, stared at the personality of Godhead as though to burn him. Springing into the air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You are slain!" The saintly Vidura, while his enemy looked on, the Lord in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. The Lord then said, "Take up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me." Challenging these words, the demon aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying toward him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. His valor thus frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead. He now took a trident, which was as rapacious as a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against the holy Brahmana. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of God, however, tore it to pieces with his discus Sudarshan, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of Godhead. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring aloud, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Srivatsa. Then he went out of sight. Hit in this manner by the demon of Vidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. The demon, however, employed many conjuring tricks against the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, the people were filled with alarm and thought that the dissolution of the universe was near. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. O sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses, armed with tridents, appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. At that moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breasts. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him, but to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists, but Lord Adhokshaja slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, the Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritra. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Brahma and others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet such blessed death?" Brahma continued, "He was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion and mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of Diti's sons has cast off his mortal coil." These two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they were returned to their own positions. The demigods addressed the Lord, "All obeisance is unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who was a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet." Sri Maitreya continued, "After thus killing the most formidable demon, Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods, headed by Brahma." Sri Bharavatar Ki Jai. So, already we're over the time limit. I don't think there's any time for questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.